Welcome to PR After Hours, your twice weekly cocktail of business, PR, and marketing tips hosted by me, Alex Greenwood. Every week, we bring you virtual happy hours featuring business advice from entrepreneurs and leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. We're going to get started in just a moment, so stick with us. Hey, listeners, are you considering new ways to build awareness for yourself, your clients, your brand, your business? Might I suggest the podcast option? The podcast option is actually my new ebook available exclusively on Amazon.com. In this fast reading book, I give you the benefit of my 15 years podcasting and broadcasting experience with stories, practical tips, and advice from hundreds of hours I've spent as a podcast host, producer, and guest. The podcast option is mandatory reading for those new to podcasting and a welcome addition to the Veteran Podcasters Library. You can get the podcast option, tips and tricks to make podcasting work for you, exclusively on Amazon.com, or you can click on the link in the show notes or visit PRAfterHours.com. The podcast option, I hope you will choose it. There's a lot to be said about pivoting in times of crisis. There's a lot to be said about taking stock of who you are and what you're made of. And there's also a lot to be said for finding people who can help you with that, particularly when it comes to growing your business. That's why I'm excited to welcome Angel Rebo to the show today. He's also known as the CEO Confidant. He's an influencer, a LinkedIn strategist, an international TV host, public speaker, CEO consultant, board member, philanthropist, and frequent podcast guests, and we're lucky to have him here in the virtual lounge. In the past 21 years, he has helped more than 1,500 CEOs in 33 different countries to accelerate the growth of their businesses. He's a native of Barcelona, and he's lived in 8 countries and speaks 5 languages. Today, we're just going to stick to English, though, because I only speak one, unfortunately. Typical American, right?
I'll try.
There you go. Accomplished entrepreneurs and corporate CEOs hire Angel to bridge the gap globally for expansion and exposure to grow their businesses. And that's what we're going to try to talk about here today in the virtual lounge on PR After Hours. Welcome, Angel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Alex. What a blessing. And thank you, everybody who's listening or watching us today.
Okay, let's talk about the pivot. It's been a tough year for everybody. But, you know, the good news, I think, is that there is some opportunity out there. I don't know about you, but my business, which really was hurting for about the first 10 or 11 months of last year, started to see some turnaround, at least in interest. Are you seeing that kind of thing yourself?
Absolutely. I see the same thing. The exact same thing. I think that the individuals and the companies that have been able to actually realize what other services could provide to a changing market. We had to acknowledge that the market has changed, that both the consumers and the organizations need different things. So the faster we were able to adapt to that, I think the better it's going to be for us. And I'm seeing the exact same thing. Actually, if you saw the financial statements of medium-sized and large corporations, many of them actually, I have to say, thrived even last year. I really saw increasing profit in many of those corporations. So yeah, to your point, I agree completely.
Well, what is it that you would advise? Let's just bring in an imaginary CEO who has been through this past year and maybe has done okay, but is seeking to pivot based on their experience and maybe is saying to you, Angel, I'm concerned about the next pandemic. I'm concerned about the next choppy seas we may be on. What's your advice to them?
Exactly. You couldn't phrase it better, because I think that every time we have a crisis or a recession, I think that people take a stock of what's going on really in the world and in their organization. And then they try to make something about it, right? And let me tell you, I think that the best organizations last year, you know what they did? They invested in the training of their employees. Hmm. Why? To have them prepared for what's coming next. And you said it very well. What's coming next? I think that it's very important today that every single employee becomes fully aware of the financial implications of their business decisions. I think that some organizations started to do it last year, and this will keep on happening. We cannot forget that the main goal of a business, it doesn't matter if you're a solopreneur or if you are the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company, a publicly traded, it doesn't matter. You still owe everything to your shareholders. You put money, I mean, the equity is there to generate, you know, returns to the shareholders. So we all have to be fully aware of those implications, the financial implications of those business decisions. So this is exactly what I think most of the most successful companies did last year.
Is there any kind of residual, not benefit, that's the wrong word. Are you seeing any residual learnings that you think will continue on post-pandemic that businesses are going to enact that you're running up against these days?
I think that you've probably seen these stats over and over again, right? I left corporate America 5 years ago, but have you ever heard this stat, like between 70 and 80% of employees in the US alone are totally disengaged or partially disengaged from their workplace and from their organization, right? Okay, so no wonder, right? I mean, no wonder, we have to do something about it. So I think that something that happened last year is that given everything that was going on, and regardless of the layoffs, I'm gonna leave the layoffs out of the equation. I think that engagement became much more important. But let's face it, you want to have your employees engaged in order to be able to keep them accountable, right? To keep them accountable to what the leadership team, what the board says. But how can you possibly do that? And can you be fair to the rest of your organization if you do not give them the tools to do that? And that's why I said before, the best organizations right now are really considering that, okay, last year only some industries, not all, some industries went down, some were really, really down the revenues, but what about the profits? And, you know, what about the cash flow? I think that one of the main lessons was, okay, so are we going to take into consideration only the revenues? I have a great friend, his name is Neville Joffe, and he always speaks about the following statement, you're gonna love it. Revenues are vanity, profits are sanity, and cash flow is reality. Okay, and it's a salesperson who's telling you that, right? So we're all about vanity, right? So so exactly. I mean, we tend to think no, revenues were awesome, you know, but the reality, you know, is the cash flow, and you need to have free cash flow in order to do things that you want to do. Last year, the companies that were more ready with more free cash flow, they were the ones that were able to put in place all the measures necessary to serve the wave of all the turmoil that was happening in the world. That was one of the most important lessons. This, again, I'm going to repeat it because I think it's brilliant. It's, you know, again, revenues are vanity, profits are sanity, and cash flow is reality.
Yeah. Used to be that they would say cash is king, but cash flow is reality. There you go. Okay, let's shift gears here. I like that. I think that's some good advice. But you're also an expert and quite accomplished at connecting the unconnected. Tell us about that work. What are you doing there to help these
folks? How do you know? So basically, the reason why I do that is because I mean, I'm originally from Spain, from Europe, but I lived in Latin America for many years, and I was visiting literally almost every single country there doing business. But at the same time that I was helping companies, organizations, at the same time I was seeing all the poverty, and I was seeing all those in the underprivileged kids that lived in those areas. I would go to, you know, manufacturing plants that belong to these massive, large, you know, worldwide corporations, but in the outside of those plants, I would typically meet a lot of, unfortunately, pockets of poverty, pockets of underprivileged people. And guess what? When a family needs money, everybody's working. And I'm not gonna make a judgment about, you know, the ethics about having the kids working or not. Okay, so that's we would all be in agreement with that. But the reality is that kids are on the streets. Many kids are on the streets, trying to help their companies or, excuse me, their families. So I was seeing these two, you know, these two worlds. Like in a matter of minutes, literally, I would see the most wealthy man in the area and the most underprivileged kid. And the way I connect the unconnected is really bringing those two worlds together. And that's why in 2017, actually, we launched Wisdom for Kids, which is a foundation, international charity. And what we do is we help underprivileged kids in Latin America become entrepreneurs using their local resources.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic, because it's the thing that I think far too many of us, just humanity in general, especially those of us fortunate enough to live a life that we're of comfort, and we're born in a country where there's infrastructure and where there's opportunity. I think it's kind of it's easy to look away, and yet you have turned your gaze to these young people in these areas, and you're marshaling your resources, and I assume you're probably occasionally, maybe I'm wrong about this part, but maybe you're putting a call into some of your CEO clients here and there about, hey, there's some things we can be doing here to help these folks, and also incidentally to benefit you, Mr. CEO or Madam CEO, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that that's going to, I mean, very often also, I have to say, because you mentioned the reality here, right? Sometimes I get these messages in which people tell me, hey, I've seen those videos, I've seen everything that you do in Latin America, but what about here? And it's true. Very often we are even living a nice life and we are not fully aware of what's happening in the outskirts of our own cities. So every time someone asks me, hey, actually one time someone really, really, I know it said, hey, why don't you take care of, you know, the children in your own area? And I said, wow, let's do it. Absolutely. Why not? So yeah, exactly. I mean, let's do that. Let's partner up. Let's try to change the local communities at the same time. Why did I pick Latin America? Besides the fact that they live there, is because, listen, 81 million kids in Latin America live under the threshold of poverty. 81. That's 45%. And that's data from 2012. After everything that has happened in the world for the last 12 to 14 months, does it make sense to think, to expect that, unfortunately, the millions and millions of kids that are right now in poverty in Latin America are more than 81 million, maybe 90 million, which is more than half of the kids that are right now in Latin America. 22 million of them in 2012 didn't have drinking water at home. 22. Can you imagine? How many times you go and you just open the tap and you use the water for whatever it is? You don't have this. 22 million kids right now in Latin America don't have drinking water at home. So, I mean, pretty dramatic, pretty dramatic. And to your question, yes, absolutely. I ask my CEO clients to actually record videos. And even if they don't speak Spanish, actually, I ask them to record videos. In which I asked them to, please, would you mind just giving me your testimonial? Give the kids in Latin America some inspiration, some inspirational words, some statements, some pieces of advice. I do that. And I remember one, Mike Hutzel is his name. He's an amazing CEO of a medium-sized company. And he did this. He asked me for a couple of weeks. And what he did is he actually asked for someone in his entourage, in his environment, that would speak Spanish. He recorded, even though he doesn't speak Spanish, he shot a video speaking in Spanish, in his broken Spanish, to the kids. Amazing, amazing. So the kids were listening. This guy speaks a little bit funny, but you know, the kids were saying, they speak a little bit funny, but it's nice to hear him. It's nice to hear that an American is making the effort to actually connect with them. Again, it's all about, as you very well said, connecting the unconnected.
Yeah, I want to make sure, by the way, at the end of the interview, we mention where people can learn more about this, okay?
Thank
and
you.
I'll put it in the show notes because I think this is vital. Just talking about, I live in the United States, but one of the sad things about the United States, even though we're one of or maybe the wealthiest nation on the planet, still there is a huge amount of people who go to bed hungry in the United States, which is, to me, that is unacceptable. It's ridiculous. It's insane. So one of my projects, I just got on the board of a local group that makes sure that food that is harvested, because you know when you harvest fruit and vegetables and things like that, oftentimes there's a lot of it that gets left behind because they pick the nicest looking fruits and things like that. So what we do here is we scoop it all up and it gets its way to hungry families. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of that work. And I think that all of us listeners should be thinking about ways that we can, even if it's just volunteering for a day for a local group, to go out and try to help your own community that way. You know, it's like Voltaire and Candide, you know, we must each tend to our own garden, right? But the good news is if we all tend to our own gardens, it's going to have an effect worldwide. And I think what you're doing is tremendous.
And you also tap into something else. We have this genius that nobody can replace. You have this genius, Alex. and you took action and you decided, I want to be part of this organization in order to ensure that these communities are going to have something to eat. And actually, it's funny how, let me tell you a story, if I may, about, you know, we had in Texas, we had this winter storm in February, this insane, like we were sleeping at home at 34 degrees inside the home for a couple of nights, crazy stuff. Guess what? There was a shortage of food. And then through a friend of mine in Utah, I was able to connect with a large organization in Utah that was able to provide literally as many trailers as needed of food to any place in Texas that was needed. Okay. Wow. I could do that through my connections. I really have a lot of connections. But the unfortunate situation is the following, and you will not believe this. Seven food banks in Texas refused those trailers, those trucks. You know why? Because they were asking for forms in which they could use the food for whatever they wanted, including selling it. And the donors of this large food bank in Utah, one of the conditions why they were donating so much food is this food cannot ever, never ever be sold. You know what these guys did? They literally went to the communities directly. They went to the communities, they opened the trailers, and they started to give away the food. So the food is still stayed in Texas in a disorganized way. And obviously, I mean, it's amazing. So what I'm trying to say is, that's why it's so important what you're doing. And really, and I love that you mentioned this, Alex. Let's make things simple. We're just joking, Alex and I, before starting the show today.
Right.
It is, let's make things simple. There's liabilities, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Texas was in a scary position.
Very.
It was an emergency. Even if you wanted to, for tax purposes, for whatever purpose, you local food banks in Texas, you had a form. You needed a form signed. We were in an emergency. Emergency means that you have to make exceptions. Exceptions. You, Alex, when you go to your community, how are you going to explain to someone that doesn't have three plates every single day on their table, how are you going to explain them that, oh, no, I ran out of food because I had to sell part of it in order to have some overhead money, blah, blah, blah. Again, I'm very respectful with everybody. What I'm trying to say is, why don't we all work together?
Yes.
All together to make things simple so that the end goal, which in this case is give food to the people that need it, becomes a reality, regardless of any other constraint in the system.
I love that. And let me, as we close out here, it's been fast, very fast show, but we're a quick show. But I just, as we go here, I want to ask you though, if somebody wanted to hire you to work with you, who's that ideal client? Is it any size, or are you focused on one sector? Tell me who that might be.
Great question. Actually, I follow. Or I choose to work with people that have this profile. So I choose the profile of the CEO or of the leader of the company rather than the company itself. And let me tell you why. And you will understand it as soon as I tell you. Because I really want to work with people that really want to leave a legacy behind them, that really want to change the world. And number three, that really they really want to change. Those three things. Because life's too short.
Yeah.
And I'm still very young. You're very young. I want to live up to 125 or even more. You know, there's all sorts of things that we know better than our parents. We have access to much more, you know, technology and knowledge and everything. Hey, while working with these people that have this way of thinking, it's much easier to keep on making a difference in the world. So I've worked with literally with oil and gas, with high tech, with consulting, with professional services, with retail, anything, but it's the leaders that have in common, all those organizations have in common is the leaders that have these three characteristics that I told you.
I like that. I think that's great. And I wish we had more folks like you out in the world of business who are looking at the bigger picture. And as you said, the simpler picture of maybe, you know, sometimes people get so consumed with looking at the navigational app on their phone they forget just to look up and realize, oh, well, the place I'm going is just five blocks away. You know, that's a poor metaphor, but that's the point. I like the fact that you're into being simple and finding solutions. I think people get too caught up in, like you said, I think they get caught up in, and this is something you said that I'm going to extract from, I think they get caught up too much in mental overhead, so to speak. They're too caught up in, well, this is how things are supposed to be done because this is how business is done. It sounds to me like you're like, look, let's go as the crow flies rather than through the labyrinth. Fair enough?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why my business mantra is take imperfect action now. Take imperfect action now. Take imperfect action now. If we just did that now, keeping in mind what we really want to accomplish. And, right. And again, as you know, when you take a path, it's only by taking the path that you know if that path's going to be successful. Why don't taking it with speed? You know, why don't take it? Why don't take that path with speed? Take imperfect action. See what takes, where that takes you. And then you course correct. You course correct. You course correct. But, you know, we are so entrenched in trying to be perfect. Perfection doesn't exist. You know, perfection doesn't exist. It's just
this, I am this. I'm with you. I think I'm the CEO of imperfectaction.com or something.
Go and book the domain before I book it later today. Okay?
Yeah, you better hurry. You better hurry. Okay.
It's not taken.
I'll tell you what. I want to make sure. First of all, I want to make sure everybody knows. There'll be a link in the show notes. But tell us, please, Angel, if they want to help you with helping the kids, how do they do that?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for being so, you know, generous of mentioning this. So it's wisdomforkids.today is the website. Wisdomforkids.today. And you can make a contribution there. So wisdomforkids.today. Very easy.
Okay. Got it. And then how do they get a hold of you in general?
Yeah, in general, I mean, I'm, as you probably have already realized, I'm very active online. I'm present in all social media outlets you can think of. If you go to LinkedIn, you will see I'm there all the time. But I'm going to give my direct email address, which is Angel, A-N-G-E-L, at Angel Ribo. Ribo is my last name, ribo.com. Again, Angel at angelribo.com.
Well, that's wisdomforkids.today. And then it's Angel at angelribo.com. That will be listed in the show notes. I usually just kind of end it here, but I'm going to, you know what? You have so many great things to say. I want to throw it back to you for a final word to the listeners, please.
Thank you. Well, I mean, the first thing I would, or the most important thing I would like to say, hey, if you are on the fence for anything in your life or in your business, you have to know that you have a talent, that you have a skill, that you have a wisdom that nobody else has, just because your route, your journey in the world has been unique. It's been only yours. Nobody can replicate the experience that you have treasured throughout your life. So get out there, start providing your services and your wisdom to your community. Start testing who that community is. Start testing the value that you provide, because you really can change the world as of today. Take action. Just take imperfect action today using this power that you have inside of you, because you are infinitely powerful. Nobody can do the same thing that you can do. And, you know, I see the world in terms of abundance, not of a scarcity. Someone could say, oh, Angel, your niche of people you're working with is very narrow. It's, you know, so what? It's very narrow, so what? If I can really work with CEOs the way I describe them, that's good enough. With business owners, with entrepreneurs, that's good enough for me, because we're going to change the world together, period.
Oh, man. Angel Ribo, the CEO confidant, you have given us much food for thought, pretty tasty stuff. Thanks so much for joining us here at PR After Hours.
Absolutely. Thank you. The pleasure has been mine. And again, thank you, everybody that has been listening or watching us today.
Oh, you know what that means? Looks like it's last call here at your virtual lounge for PR news, views, and interviews. We'll keep it short and sweet. Just remind you, if you like the show, there's many ways you can help us keep it going, not the least among which is to rate this podcast. Simply go to the show notes at prafterhours.com or wherever you're getting this podcast and click on the link. ratethispodcast.com/after, and it will take you to Apple Podcasts and a couple other places. very easily. One click, you write your review, it's done. Can't tell you enough how important it is to get ratings on those sites so that we can build our audience and keep bringing you the kind of information you need every week for your business. Also, don't forget, if you want to sponsor the show, give us a tip in the virtual tip jar or ask a question, there are links in the show notes. Well, I think it's time that I cleaned up and closed up for this edition of PR After Hours here on Anchor FM.